Blog Talk Radio.
Because we know at your throne is all the answers to everything that goes on in life. Father, we pray right now for this program as it is proceeding, and we're trusting you with all of our hearts, oh Father God, that you will be leading us, Father God. We pray, Father God, for the speaker who was supposed to be on here today and for whatever reason is not available. And so we're just praying for that individual, praying that he's fine health-wise and all. And we're just trusting you, Father God, to just lead us as your children today to speak that which you would have us to speak, Father God, out into the audience, to those, Father God, that will ever be listening to this tape, oh, Father God. So we just give your name the praise and the glory, and we're thanking you in advance because it's not my show, it's not Faith's show, it's not anybody's show, Father God, that's on here right now, Father God, live, but it's your show, Father God. It's something that you ordained, and so we're just going to let you have your way. Father, as I begin to close, I just want to be mindful of those that are unsaved, and I just pray, Father God, for the salvation of people that are lost. Father, I pray for those that have even a reprobate mind, because even a God like you, Father God, can change a reprobate mind if you so desire. I pray for those, Father God, that are just simply, as your word would put it, a fool, because your word says that only a fool would make a statement that there is no God. So I pray for those that puff themselves up and they call themselves atheists, oh, Father God, or agnostics, oh, Father God. I pray for people, Father God, that do not realize that they need you as their Lord and Savior, Father God. And so I'm just praying for the lost that before it is everlasting too late, by the grace that you give to people, Father God, and by the faith that you distribute to people, because your word says that it is by grace through faith that people come to be saved, not of ourselves, oh, Father God, lest any of us would want to boast, dear Heavenly Father God. There will be no boasting before you, Father God, and your word promises us, oh, Heavenly Father God, that every knee will bow and every tongue, Father God, at one point in time will confess that you are Jesus Christ, to the glory of God the Father. And so we just praise and we thank you, Father God, for the availability, Father God, of anybody to be saved, Father God, because the door is open, dear Heavenly Father God, because your desire, Father God, is that none would be lost, but that all would come to a saving knowledge in you, Father God. Your word tells us that you take no delight, you take no pleasure in someone dying and living a life apart from you. So I pray for the lost. I pray, Father God, that they will understand that just as real as this life is that we're living now, there is a reality after this life, Father God, and it's going to be either in the presence of you or it will be, Father God, in that lake of fire and brimstone for an eternity where people, Father God, will be tortured forever and ever and ever. So I'm just praying that people will understand this is a serious thing, a very serious thing when it comes to salvation, Father God. And so I just thank you, Father God, for everything that you do to make it possible that people can know about you, Father God. I thank you, Heavenly Father God, just for your holy written word that's in so many different languages throughout the whole of this earth, Father God. I thank you for anointing men and women of God that you use, Father God, to preach your word and to teach your word, Father God. I just thank you, Father God, for the saints that you use to plant seed and to water seed. I thank you for the work of your mighty Holy Spirit, dear Heavenly Father God, that draws a person unto yourself. And so I thank you. Your word said that you knock at the doors of people's hearts, and if anybody would open, Father God, their hearts unto you, Father God, you would come in and fellowship with them, oh, Father God, that they might have an opportunity, Father God, to know about you, the God of the Bible, Father God, the one who is God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit, oh, Father God. Father, your word tells us that we will be without excuse in knowing that there is a God to give praise and worship to, because your word says that on the basis of the things that you have created, seen and unseen, these things speak to the fact that there is a God to give praise and worship to. So I thank you, Father God, for our sense of sight and hearing, taste and smell and touch, oh, Father God, to get in touch with this Savior of the world, Father God. There's none other like you, Father God. You are King of kings. You are Lord of lords. You are the God over all little so-called gods. You are the Savior of this world. You are the light of this world, Father God. You are the way, the truth, and the life, oh, Father God. Oh, Father God, I pray that before it's eternally too late, Father God, that the lost will come to their senses, oh, Father God, that they would want to receive this free gift of salvation that you're offering, Father God, before it will be everlasting too late. Now, Father God, I bless you and I praise you, Father God. I thank you right now for having put this on my heart to speak like this today, Father God. I wasn't intending to, so I know it's your Holy Spirit that has led and guided me, because you want as many as possible to be a part of your body of Christ, oh, Heavenly Father God. So I give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. And these things I pray in the mighty and awesome name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Beverly. That was a powerful prayer. I did get a message from our speaker today. I don't know if he's going to call in or not, but he said he just got the message and that he's saying he's sorry, but he just got the inbox. So I'm not sure if he's going to call in or we're just going to keep it going. But again, Sister Beverly, thank you for that prayer. We might just have to put him on another Wednesday, if that's okay with him. And I'm pretty sure who's sorry for not being on today, but we're going to keep it going. It's got this, so we got to keep it moving forward. And right now, we just want to see if anything or anyone has anything they would like to place on their hearts that they want to speak on, if there's something that you want to talk about, if there's something that God has placed on your heart, if there's something that you just need a word on, you know, for advice. It's okay that whatever it is, we're just going to bring it out, and we're just going to, if you need prayers or anything, we're just going to leave it at that. Does anyone like to go ahead and share? Okay. Well, I have one that this is on my heart, and it has to do with unforgiveness. And we all know what God says about being forgiven to someone that has done wrong by you, or the other way around. If you've done something and you need to speak on it and you say you're sorry and, you know, take it to the Lord, hopefully you don't do it again. But how does it feel on the other end? Not everybody wants to receive your apology. How does it go? Sometimes people look at you when you've done wrong. They look at you as who you are, and they take it at that. But sometimes you just never know what's going on the other side. Try to be, you know, put the shoe on the other foot and try to figure out, because you just never know what the other person is going through to make them say something that is not of God, but then they also say they're sorry and take it from there. But does anyone have anything they would like to say when someone has done wrong to you, and do you receive that apology? Do you hold on to it? Do you? How would you go about that? Does anyone have anything they would like to share on that?
Okay, no. I'll give you a couple of comments, Sister K. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, forgiveness. You were talking about forgiveness now. We have to look at forgiveness as an act of God's grace to forget forever, not to hold people of faith accountable for sins they confessed. And then we have to look at, too, that everyone needs forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And the basis of the Bible of God's creative power and holiness and to human rebellion. As human has rebelled against God, we rebel against one another. They persecuted one another in the biblical times as we do today. And we're supposed to have a divine relationship, regardless of what one does to you. You're supposed to have the spirit of forgiveness, because it's not what is done to you or said to you that affects you. It's your reaction to it. But instead of reacting to everything, go in prayer. Pray for that person that the Holy Spirit would touch their heart.
Amen.
A lot of times you can get in a conflict that have some serious consequences.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody with an attitude, because I'll give you an example. I told a young lady one time, there was two ladies. One wanted to attack the other. And I talked to one. I said, no, you shouldn't do that. She said, why? I said, because the people who will witness you being the attacker don't know what the attackee had said to you to build up and encourage you to attack her. So if it get reported to the police or to some investigation, they can only give an account of what they saw you doing. But they have no knowledge of what was said to you to get that adrenaline flowing for you to attack that person. And that's one of the bases that we need in the body of Christ, is to have us, well, we all always say self-control, but we have to have the spirit in us. We have to learn how to control self. And a lot of times, forgiveness and apology is not the most that you actually go along with that, but we have to go on with the quality of life. We have to express that we are bigger and better than that person, because we have the spirit of God operating us and not having a sinful nature. And we're supposed to continue to love, because you don't sin and become a sinner. We are sinners that sin. And by God's grace, which is unmerited favor, we are supposed to operate an example of forgiveness, love, companionship, because Jesus said, this new commandment I give you, love one another as I love you. And the question was asked him when he would see the Father. He said, when you see me, you see the Father, because the Father's in me. And he always say, abide in me, and I abide in you, abide in my word daily. And when you abide in his word daily, and he also had a mind of Christ, how are you going to have the mind of Christ if you don't study Christ's word, study his teaching, and then study what is the mercies of God, what is to have peace and forgiveness? I'm going to give somebody else the opportunity to talk.
Amen. Well, Sister Beverly,
when it comes to forgiveness, mm-hmm. I had to grow in that. As a young person, not totally into the Lord, and having experienced a particular incident, it just caused me to really, just have a lot of anger at a particular person just for something that they had done. And it just took some growth in the Lord to really get to the point of what Deacon was talking about, where you can just begin to literally forgive that individual, whether they have apologized to you or not, because mm-hmm. it's for your own good and your own health to just move on. But I'm just saying that it's a process for those, in those early walks with the Lord when you haven't really got a hold of what this forgiveness is all about. And like I said, for me, I had to grow about this particular individual because every time I would see them, I would just remember, that incident. And it would just, upset me. And that's the thing about it with unforgiveness. It's going to bother you and it's not bothering the other person. And so I had mm-hmm. to grow and understand that about forgiveness and to realize that when people do things towards you sometimes, it's not going to always be that they come back and apologize about it. You know what I'm saying? So it's best that you can get to the point of just realizing who they are, praying for them. I can truthfully say that I got to the point where I pray for that person. I still pray for that person even now. I pray for that individual, and they have never said anything. That individual has never apologized to me. And I see them now, and I don't get all riled up or anything like that, but I'm saying it is a process, but it's a healthy process for the person that's holding on to these grudges because it's just not good for you. It really is not a healthy thing physically, mentally, emotionally, or spiritually to be holding on to this stuff, but you come to know this as you grow in knowing God, knowing his principles, knowing who he is, knowing how much he's forgiven you, yourself, you know what I'm saying? And you, these things become acquired. So that's all I wanted to do was to just share that bit of information that I really had to grow when it came to unforgiveness about a certain thing. And I was a lot younger person then, and it was just, mm-hmm. I just didn't know what I know now, So mm-hmm. I just praise God for the growth that he's put in my life concerning the area of forgiving people.
Good spiritual growth.
Amen.
Because human forgiveness kind of reflect our experiences, understanding of what divine forgiveness, and that's the love that God gives us. And it doesn't deal with wooden or man-written rules, but it governs the forgiveness that God forgave us through his Son. Because mm-hmm. Jesus became our sin barrier on the cross. It was powerfully demonstrated this teaching on the cross, and he asked for forgiveness for his executioner because he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we have to give because sometimes people don't know what they're really doing to you. They
Amen.
Will do things to you or do things to you, and you get into a depressive, stressful state in life, and they go on with their happy-go-lucky life.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Amen.
Jesus spoke of us human dimension of forgiveness, and we have to have a firm condition for receiving God's forgiveness in the willingness to forgive others. We have to forgive others. You cannot say, I'm saved. I did a demonstration Sunday of in a class of had a bottle of water and two glasses of water, and I put some tart cherry juice in there to resemble when Jesus turned water into wine. So I asked the question, mm-hmm. Can anybody have a formula to turn this wine back to water? So once I'm trying to say, once you go into Christ, we are supposed to go back. And a lot of us do. And then the other glass, I had a card with the word truth written in on an indelible pen that wouldn't fade. So I put the card in there and said truth in the water. I say, now, we're always looking for something new to water down truth, but don't seek water down truth. Seek the truth of the word of God, the cross, Christ, and the word of God. That is the three premise. And when you teach, you have to remember you're teaching the word of God. When you're speaking the word of God either through what God spoke to the prophets in the Old Testament or what he spoke through his sons to the fatherless to us. And we have to have, the cross gives us mercy, gives us redemption from sin.
Amen.
Amen. I wanted to share that there was kind of like an abusive relationship that I was in. And that person did a lot of things to me, but I was able to heal from the outside wounds, but the inside wounds, that really, like, took a toll on me. But when I started to have that relationship with the Lord, he began to start to tear down those things that was holding me back. And so later on, I thought I was totally relieved of the unforgiveness to the person that done wrong by me. But then there was a time where I was speaking to God, and I had a vision of his hand, and his hand was turned to me, and he said it in a different kind of voice, give it to me, give it all to me. And I didn't realize that even though I thought I had forgave him completely, I took some back. I kept a little in my back pocket. And so when God told me to give it all to me, give it all, I began to see that I still had a little bit more unforgiveness in me. And so I gave it all to him. I gave it all to him. I cried to God, and I gave it all to him. And so then I could feel more things being released off me. And so today, when I see this person, whether I get an apology or not, I have the love of God in me towards him. I can talk to him. I can speak to him. And I don't feel anything anymore. And that was a hard thing for me because I felt like you should be apologizing to me. Look at all the things you've done to me. You just say something. And he never said anything, not one word. But I had to be right okay for myself. I couldn't be worried about what he's supposed to be doing. Once I was released completely, I was okay for my freedom, and I'm okay today behind that. But that was a real hard one for me as far as that unforgiveness.
Amen.
Because a lot of times you may not ever get an apology. And to me, it kind of works both ways. Even though you say sorry to someone else, not that person has to do the same, especially if they have that relationship with the Lord, because Jesus Christ took all of everything we've ever done, and God says to forgive, and so they should have to forgive too. But it kind of works both ways, whatever your relationship with the Lord is.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Does anyone else have anything they would like to share on that? Or anything else that you would like to share?
Well, one thing, like, you are not saved until you realize that you're lost.
Mm.
And also, we have to always look at the cross, because love is not love until you give it away. And God gave it love away through the sacrificial death of his son.
Mm-hmm.
And even though Jesus had no sin to repent of, He went. You remember he went to John the Baptist to be baptized so he could identify with sinners in order that he would be our sin barrier. And also, that's not only for them, but for us today. And also, Jesus was alone with the Father and the Holy Spirit while he fasted 40 days and 40 nights, being tempted by Satan. But we have to look at the devil was also there tempting him to satisfy his own hunger. Because, and his distrust of the Father, which is God, to seize dominion of the world before the Father would give it to him. Because he was supposed to be the light that would bring the light of God to earth. But in his rebellion, he failed, and God cast him out of his home in heaven. So he was testing God through Christ to see if he could detour Christ from the cross. Because of his self-indulgence and the danger by indulging his own self-will. And we call him Satan. In Arabian, they call him Satan. And what we have to always look at, the Jesus' instructions as in his ministry and his to be a servant. And also we are supposed to be like that water that was turned to wine. Once we become into the saving fold of Christ, that's where we're supposed to remain. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sister Beverly, you brought up a good point that when a person does something that you don't like or says something you don't like, it is important to pray for that person because you don't know what's going on their end. And I thought that was just another way to see things because it may be a test for that person, not for you, not to take in the word that they said, but a test for where they are in their relationship with the Lord. So,
amen.
What you said is to pray on that person. I think that's very important. And then you don't have to receive something that someone says. You don't have to receive
amen.
It. But
amen.
A lot of times they're not for you. It's for their relationship.
Right. And, like, it took me a while to get to the point of praying for that person. But I never prayed, like, Lord, make them to apologize or anything like that. I never prayed anything like that. But I just prayed for their overall well-being. You know what I'm saying? So, but it took me a while to get to that point and to pray to God for that individual, not expecting God to get that individual to say anything to me in the way of apologizing or anything like that, but just praying for that individual, praying for their families and stuff of that nature, praying for their, you know, growth in him. Because at that time, I don't even believe, and I still don't believe that person really knows the Lord, but you know, just praying for their well-being and stuff like that, as opposed to saying, oh, Lord, straighten them out, make them, you know, apologize. No, I just was praying for their well-being and welfare. But it took me a while to get to them to do that.
And that is also, and that is also for you to be at peace.
Amen.
And the prayer is also for you to be at peace.
Amen. I was at peace too. I was. Amen. I had peace.
Your soul.
I was able to pray that. Amen.
You let the Holy Spirit do the work on that person, but you let the peace abide in you by the forgiveness that you go through prayer, because prayer is the communication to God to settle any issue in life.
Amen, amen. Like I say, the Holy Spirit was working on me because I had my issues about not wanting to forgive, okay, and to forget.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing, forgive and forget. They go together. And you have to make a
concerted
effort to forget, you know what I'm saying, to just push on. So, yeah, the Holy Spirit was definitely working in my life and worked me up to the point of being able to forgive that individual and to just pray for the well-being and the welfare of that individual. So, yeah, kudos to the Holy Spirit.
Right, we need to have more teaching on forgiveness and less on prosperity.
Excuse me,
amen.
I have a question. My name is Barbara. I have a question. Does an apology, you let a person didn't apologize, is apology unforgiveness? We say that person didn't apologize to us, but is that unforgiveness if they apologize to you?
Say that again.
Mm-hmm. That people, when we apologize to us, is that unforgiveness for that person?
Okay.
After before, when you've done something wrong, when you apologize, and you are taking responsibility for your actions,
mm-hmm.
and go ahead, Beverly.
No, I'm listening to you because I couldn't
okay.
hear everything that she said because it was breaking up on my end.
Okay. Yeah, I was saying that you have to be responsible for your actions. You have to repent to God for what you've done, and you have to go to the person to say you're sorry or to apologize for your behavior. And I'm pretty sure, I guess that's maybe the answer, but you also not have to do that again. You don't continually say I'm sorry and then do it again, say I'm sorry and then do it again. You have to change your behavior. Something's got to go. It's got to be removed from your heart so that you don't do that again. And that is a sincere apology. And
when
I can't make it right with God, huh? Go ahead. Are you guys still there?
Yes.
Okay. Because you
yes.
got to make it right with God and to the other person.
Okay.
Did I answer
like
that question okay?
No.
Okay, because I didn't hear all of it because
okay,
I was waking
what I, up. Okay, what the question was, you said if a person never gives you an apology, never apologize to you.
Well, one thing about it
is
to admit that something, someone or something is wrong, and it also may offer, we might say, a simple acknowledgement, that expression of regret. That this infraction has happened to the person, so apology removes the blame or senses the wrong. In other words, it could be a mistake, it could be a failure. Hello?
Yes,
I'm here.
And then a lot of times, some people will use an apology as an excuse. And sometimes we'll apologize to someone for wrongdoing. And I'll give you an example. I was accused of something one time, but someone told the truth what had actually happened. And I told the person, I didn't apologize to them for what they say happened. I apologized to them for the way they feel about what they think had happened. And I went on with my life.
My question was that when the person apologized to you, do you forgive them because of the apology they have given you? Or are you continuing to deal with that situation?
Okay. So you're saying the person apologized to that individual, and then you're asking, are we forgiving them just because of the apology?
Yes. How do we feel? What do we do after they apologize to us?
I think
okay.
she's saying it was
person,
apology, do you still carry that
person,
weight?
Okay. I was going to say if a person has apologized to you, okay, this is just my take on it. If a person has apologized to you and you're really receiving that apology from that person, you are to let go, you know, of any hostility
yes.
that you were having towards that individual or about that situation. You're to just take them at their word. Now, only God knows if that apology was something that was coming from their heart, if it was for real. But it's always incumbent upon us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If they apologize, my take on it is I'm going to accept the apology and I'm just going to move on, you know, because when it's all said and done, if there's anything untoward about it, you know,
God's going to deal with that in the end. But on our end, to stay healthy and strong Christians, we got to let go of stuff like that. We can't even sit there and judge in the sense, were they really sincere about it or anything like that? They're apologizing. I'm going to accept your apology, and then I'm just going to move on. Now, you may have to just maybe keep your distance from that individual or something like that, but you can accept that apology and move on and still, you know, be smart if you need to stay away from somebody. You know what I'm saying?
So when you see that person that, you mean if you avoid them or do you speak to them?
No, I'm just asking a question. Mm-hmm. No, I'm just saying some situations may actually warrant you to just stay away from a particular individual. You know what I'm saying? Like maybe if somebody came in your house and stole something. Well, they can apologize for it, but you may not be willing to want to entertain them anytime soon in your home again. You know what I'm saying? Because you're still working through some stuff too. You're still working through some stuff. You don't want to, I don't know what the word I want to say about that. But
okay,
I mean,
say for instance you had three or four people at your home and something was stolen. Now which one can you?
No. But I think that if the person came and apologized to you, okay, it is incumbent upon us to receive that apology. But what does God's word say to be? I don't know the exact phraseology of this. But it's about being like as. Oh boy, I'm gonna mess up trying to even say it, but it's something about being wise as a dove and da 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 da. So I mean, you can forgive people, but you still in God, the way that He's got you going, you know, to be wise about certain things. You know, can you kind of understand what I'm saying when I'm saying it like that?
Mm-hmm.
You got to be wise as a dove, but. Something as a serpent, something like that it says. So, you know, you just got to, I'm just going to stop at this point because I can't totally explain what I'm trying to say. But
the book of Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews in 10 and 17 said, "Now sins and iniquities I will remember no more." So once that apology is done, you're supposed to let go.
Right.
But some people walk around with it.
Well, yeah, but you are supposed to put it behind you is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think you've got to put behind you and
move on.
Be aware, but move on, correct. But,
that's the word, be aware.
take consideration.
Still be aware depending on what, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Being wise as a dove, being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, that's the way it goes.
Yeah, I like that. That's a good one, yeah.
That dove can fly away. That's the thing.
But once you have a sincere apology and you're moving on, unless you see that behavior again, that's different. But you got to go by their word. They forgave you. They have changed their ways. And it should be the, you know, that could be the last of it unless you see it again. But you went from trust and then you, yeah. Anyway, we're kind of out of time now. Very good topic. We got a lot out of that. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for leading us in this subject. And hopefully this conversation that we had today, that helped a lot. I know it helped me. And so, Sister Beverly, would you mind closing us out in prayer?
All right. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise and we thank you once again for this time together. And we pray, Heavenly Father God, that everything that was said here today, Father God, was something, Father God, that was pleasing in your ears, Father God. And we pray that nothing was said here, Father God, that was offensive to anybody, Father God, or saying something that would lead anybody astray, because our hearts, Father God, was just to speak, Father God, from our hearts to Heavenly Father God. And so I pray for each and every one of us that was on this phone call today, Father God. I pray for the one who posed the question here to this day. And I pray, Father God, that the things that were said following that question, Father God, may have answered, Father God, what she was asking, oh God. And if not, Father God,
then I'm just praying that your Holy Spirit, oh God, will move in her life, Father God, and give the answer, Father God, that would explain the question that she posed here today, just in case, Father God, she did not feel as though she got an answer here from us today. But I pray now, Father God, that you would watch over each and every one of us, Father God, as we begin to go our own separate ways, and that you would use us, oh Father God, for the glory of your kingdom, Father God. And that's what we're here on this earth to do, is to bring praise, glory, and honor to you. So until we meet again, we just give your name the praise, glory, and honor now and forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Beverly. And with that, I have to say good night to everyone. You guys have a very good evening, and may the peace of the Lord always be with you. Good night.
Amen.
Amen. All right.
Bye-bye.